Welcome to You Had to Be There, the podcast where we deep dive into the world of concerts, musicians, and the music industry. I'm your host, Julia Gomberg, and this is Season 2, Episode 2. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome a really special guest, Riza, the lead singer of Strawberry Launch, which is a dynamic, female-fronted pop rock band from New York. With their hit single, Sweet Basil, surpassing a million streams on Spotify already, the band has an exciting year ahead, including a national tour and their debut festival performance at Governor's Ball this June. Our conversation was such a blast, and I can't wait for you to hear it. Be sure to check out Strawberry Launch's music on your favorite streaming platform. And as a bonus, don't miss Riza's curated playlist of her current favorite songs. You can also follow the band on Instagram at Strawberry Launch, and you can follow the podcast at Letter U Had to Be There Pod. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Hi, my name is Riza. I'm the lead singer of Strawberry Launch. We are a synth pop indie rock group from New York. I always tell people that if I had to describe like what kind of music we make, it's kind of like if you put Muna and the Cranberries together.
That's perfect. I was listening before we got on, and I think just like listening to a bunch of songs back to back, I was like, oh my God, they have such a Muna vibe. This is so fun. So I'm proud of myself. I nailed it.
Yes. Perfect. I'm so glad that you felt that way. Yeah. That is the vibe we're going for sure.
And you nailed it. That's so cool. I'm super excited just as a fellow music person, but also as a fan. I've been following you guys for a while. So yeah, let's go back. I want to kind of hear about you. Did you ever envision yourself in a band? Like what were your hopes and dreams as a younger person?
Yeah. I actually grew up in the Midwest on a small farm. My dad has a real love for music. I had a pretty interesting array of music knowledge as a kid. My dad's an avid record collector. He does play. He has like a bit of the musician in him, but not in a professional way. But I always grew up just like listening to great stuff. He definitely leans more like classic rock than anything else, but like I also,
as most dads do.
Yes. But I also grew up listening to like a lot of jazz. One of his close friends, like close childhood friends, was like a pretty like famous like 80s fusion jazz musician. So like I went to a lot of like fusion jazz concerts when I was a kid.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but he's always just been kind of like a passion pusher, like always wanted my older sister and I to just do whatever brings us joy. And like and I always wanted to do something like, you know, entertainment related. Like I was just one of these kids that like wanted to be on stage. I grew up in a really small town, and like I think people just didn't know how to like help me kind of navigate where in the entertainment industry I wanted to land. Mm-hmm. I took choir very seriously, and I took voice lessons, and I was heavily involved in theater, and like probably took it too seriously. But I ended up going to school for musical theater in the city. And then like my senior year of college, I realized I was a terrible actress. Like I just was like, nobody told me that. I just realized like, oh my gosh, I'm so bad at this. I was not breaking into any kind of acting career and like jumping to the next ladder the way that my friends were. And I was like, I'm simply not supposed to be here. So I started top lining for DJs and got into that. And then I like had a partner for a while, and I thought I was going to do the singular artist thing, but I really hated that. Like, I just really didn't like the idea of being on stage by myself. And like, I don't know, I'm just a very collaborative person. And so I just started going to gigs by myself. Like I just started going to concerts by myself, going to my friend's shows. I would just like sit at Rockwood Stage One when it was still like a thing. And yeah, and like watch people play. And I literally had a notebook of like, and I broke down like what I liked, what I didn't.
Oh.
And I just really hated the idea of being like a singular artist with a band full of dudes who look so annoyed to be there. I just didn't want to do that. So I really wanted to start a band with like, you know, a non-dude band in whatever right. capacity that was. And so that's how I kind of came up with the idea of like starting Strawberry Launch, and then it kind of went
from there. Yeah. It's so cool to hear like foreshadowing like in people's stories, because yeah, even to your point mentioning like growing up doing choir and doing theater, like those are such collaborative environments. And so to hear that like that was what you wanted to kind of continue into your music career makes a lot of sense to me. And I love like just hearing about how people who are in the city in New York or like in cities get learn so much. Like that's such a unique opportunity to get to like sit back and really learn and watch. And that's, I think it's such an important part of your story. When I think of Strawberry Launch, like even the name, like it has such a distinct, like colorful feel to it. That's like not like a bunch of annoyed dudes playing in a band. Like, so you nailed that. Once you were like, okay, I think I want to have a band. What were the next steps to make that happen?
So I went to a school that was like mostly theater people. Like most of my friends were still actors. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know anyone who was like interested in doing something that was not that. So I had a friend, I was part of the Grammy U program, for anybody listening who may not know, but like the Grammys do like a student program where you can like, you can apply and like join, and then you can go to like talk backs and networking events and whatever. It was amazing.
Right. That's so cool.
Anybody listening, like if you're a student, go join it. It's great. But I had a friend that I had met through there. Their name is Miss Grit. They're such a cool, like alt electric pop artist, or ooh, like, I don't even really know how to describe their music. It's just like so unique. Go listen.
Yeah.
But they're great. And they do like, they're a singular person project. And we had coffee one day and I was like, hey, like, I really want to start a band. And I was like picking their brain about it. And then I was like, do you want to join? Like, let's start it together. And they were like, no, like I really want to do something. Which, totally valid, respect that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they were like, I'll just send you a list of like other non-dudes, other girls that I know that might be interested. And I called the first girl on the list and I was like, hey, like I heard that you're like a great guitarist and you're looking to like maybe start a band or something. And like, me too. And she was like, wow. And like, she was like, come to the NYU dorms and like, well, we'll listen to your demos and whatever. And I like had never met her. I didn't have any of her socials. Like I had no idea who she was. And I showed up to the NYU dorms and she was a freshman in college, I think. And like, we just like vibed. And that's literally how I met Montana, who's still my, like still our lead guitarist today. And
that's crazy.
Yeah. And like, she changed my life. And I like, you know, she was really the one that helped me put the rest of Strawberry Launch together. Taylor, our keyboardist, like her and Matriana grew up together. They did School of Rock together in Chicago. And then Abby was also a good friend of Matriana's, who's our bassist. And like Benji was in the film school, but he also knew these guys all really well. And he was like filling in to play drums for us because I really wanted like a female drummer. And we just like couldn't, we just kept going through drummers after drummer. And he kept filling in for us. It feels wrong to hold you being a man against you when
right.
you're like, that's a nice person who's always down, like whatever. So we ended up adding him, and like it's been the same for the last 6 years.
Wow. So, I think in your band bio, you use the word serendipitous, and I feel like it really is serendipitous of like how that came together. It was so meant to be. That's really wild. I love that you include him because like, I agree. Like, I have a lot of female guests, and like, there's always the distinction of like, there are definitely great green flag guys in the industry who deserve their flowers. So in terms of like collaboration, what does that look like?
So up to this point, it has really been internal between the five of us when it comes to the actual writing process. I have written quite a lot for other people, just in top lining, working for other artists over the years. But until recently, like, I never, ever, ever let anybody else write for Strawberry Line and my bandmates. Like, nobody's going to be able to capture it for us. Like, I'm not going to do that. Something about the internal, like, vibe between the five of us was very special to me. And right. So the first, like, EP was kind of different just because, like, Matriano was totally responsible for Sweet Basil. Like, she had already written a demo that was called Sweet Basil with that riff in it. And like, she had kind of built that, and I wrote on top of it. The same with like The Sun. She had already kind of come up with the chords for that as a random demo on her SoundCloud. And then I wrote on top of it, and then we changed it a lot. And then when we did the Bad Luck EP, it was much more of like, I had written all of Light Blue Sheets out as a structure, and they wrote around it. Then like, there are some cases where like Taylor has the chords to something, and like, we kind of piece it together. Like, I'll write a line and she'll write something, and I'll write a line and she'll write something. So
wow, it's just kind of collaborative.
Yes. Like, I can tell Matriana like, oh, I want kind of a weird chord that has a creepy vibe to it, that kind of like, if you could physically make the color blue sound a certain way, that's how I want it. And she can do it. Yeah. Like,
wow.
She just can read me really. She's always been able to read me really well. So it isn't until the last like maybe 8 months that I've just kind of met the right people, the right writers that feel like comfortable that we can write together for Strawberry Launch. And then I will kind of take things to them. But then also like, Matriana and I are working on some stuff together. Taylor and I are working on some stuff together. It's just our circle has changed a little bit as we're working on some new things, which has been a really like interesting vibe shift.
I would imagine there's definitely a component of trust in that, because it's such a personal and like almost sacred songwriting. You're like, writing yourself is so personal, and then to like really open it up to other people, I feel like, is a really big decision. And like, especially when you have such a specific like succinct synergy among your bandmates, I would imagine it's a risk, but one that's worth taking and probably leads to a lot more creativity.
Totally. Yeah. It's funny because like, I always say that like, whatever the song is, like, it's not launchified until my bandmates all get a hold of it. There's just something, about the way Matriana plays the guitar. There's something about when Taylor picks a certain pedal, when Abby puts a certain bass line down, that just feels right. And so a lot of times when I'm in sessions with other people, we do the bare minimum. Like, I put chords down and that's all I want. I don't want you writing anything specific. I don't want you writing any guitar licks. Like, if Matriana's not in the room, if Taylor's in the room, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
So I try to leave it really open so that when they hear the bones of stuff, like, they can do what they do best. Or like vice versa. Like, when they have things for me, they like keep concepts really light, or they keep chords really light so that I can do what I need to do lyrically. A great example is like Light Blue Sheets.
Which is my favorite, by the way.
I think I wrote Light Blue Sheets in like 20 minutes.
Wow.
It was one of the fastest songs I've ever written. But like the "You're so intimidating," like, I wrote the entire melody line of that entire song I already wrote. And then I sent them a voice memo of me singing it a cappella to like a metronome.
Oh my god.
And then
gosh.
They like went in and built the rest. But like it stayed the same. But that's like a really rare case. But
It really is like magic. It's so cool how those things just like come together like that. And as someone who like really appreciates collaboration, it's really cool getting to hear like I've interviewed a lot of like solo artists. And so it's just really such a different perspective hearing it from a band leader. Like it's just so collaborative. And so you're really just taking like everyone's talents into bringing something magical.
When we started the band at first, it was just Matriana and Abby and I. And I thought we were going to make more kind of like classic hard rock because that's what I grew up on. I wanted a heart vibe. Like I wanted like Barracuda, like big sounds, crazy vocals, whatever. And then when we added, because we added Taylor probably a year after we had started the band. But then when we added her, it just like really changed our entire sound. And it turned into this kind of like synth pop rock infused mystery, and like it really changed how I write. And so like we just are a band that is very reliant on each other. If somebody were to leave or whatever, like we all just really rely on each other to make Strawberry Launch sound the way that it does.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I wanted. That's why I started a band. Like if I didn't want that, I would have just stayed a singular artist. So.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And how did you come up with the band name?
So we had a different name when we started, and I'm not outing myself on this podcast because it's a bad name. I don't want to talk about it. And okay. The first year we had a different name. And I had a drummer at the time, shout out Marissa. We miss her very much. She was our drummer for a while. And then she ended up moving to California. And so she had to leave the band, but she came to me one day and she was like, I really hate our band name. And I was like, amazing. Like, thank you so much for sharing. That doesn't hurt my feelings at all, even though it totally does. Right. And I was like, if you can come up with something better, I will change it. Like, no problem. So she put together a list of just 100 words and phrases together. I shit you not, like 100.
Wow.
Like there were so many to choose from. And we all kind of took this sheet and pondered it over. And the only one, the only phrase that we all liked was Strawberry Launch.
Oh my gosh.
And I just started like casually workshopping that into conversations with people I trusted.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I think we're going to change our name to Strawberry Launch. And people were like, oh, that's really, really good. Like, I think we should change it. And so we did. And it just like all of the universe that we wanted to create just kind of all came together and like it all gathered as one. And it was like as soon as we changed it, like all the marketing like made sense in my head. The color palette just showed up. Like, I don't know what it was. Yeah.
I agree though. Like I feel like when I hear Strawberry Launch, I think of like the colors and like the sound. Like it's almost like synesthesia. It's like, oh, this is what I associate with these. Like it's so subconscious, but I know exactly what you're talking about. You guys just kind of like nailed it.
Yeah. I owe it all to Marissa. She came up with that. And then once she left the band, like she was like, go for
wow.
it.
Wow. What a parting gift. That's so generous.
I know. I got lucky.
Yeah. I'm obsessed also with like coming up with fake band names. Like there's a subreddit that's called, I think, fake band names, and people that just come up with fake band names. It's so entertaining.
That would save so many bands' lives if they knew about that. Yeah. It totally works. Like sometimes the dumbest like words just make sense. And
for sure, that's kind of what happened with my podcast name. I was so unsure how to make it, and then I was venting to my friend and I was like, I don't know, it's just like I want people to talk about those moments where like you had to be there. And then I was like, wait,
and there it is.
And yeah, I was gonna say, like, kind of going off on like your vision, like you are so good at your social media presence, which is such a such an animal. Like, I talk about it in almost every episode, and I'm just like, it's for someone who's like done social media for many artists, like, it's just something like I can't quite nail. I feel like it makes me feel old because I'm like, maybe I'm just like too millennial for it, but like every time I see your content, it makes me stop scrolling. Can you kind of talk about what is the creativity? Where do you find the creativity and the vision and inspiration for what you put out there?
Sure. Yeah. I think a couple of years ago, I can't remember when Sweet Basil like took off. I think that was 2022. Mm-hmm. And before that, we were really only using Instagram because like TikTok wasn't really a thing as a promotional tool.
Right.
Until a couple of years ago. So like the right. first couple of years we were a band, we were really only using Instagram as a way to promote our live shows. And we were more heavily relying on like getting like blog write-ups and stuff like that, which like they're still helpful, but like in the long run, they don't get seen as much unless they're like major, major magazines, platforms that people like religiously swear by. When things kind of changed with TikTok, because people kept telling us, they're like, you need to start using TikTok. And we were like, that's so anti-band. Like, don't use the internet. And then we were kind of like, well, we have nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. And Taylor had the great idea. I don't know where she saw this or whatever, but basically she started a fake smear campaign about us and our music on TikTok. And she was like, three of the five members of this band like all went to school for music, but like their music turned out like this, and like saying like it's so bad. They call themselves a girl band, but they have a male drummer. Like all just these heinous accusations about ourselves. And one of these TikToks just exploded, and like
whoa.
People were like, oh yeah, they do suck. And then they'd be like, wait, this is your song though, and it's really good. It was so funny.
That's and, like, amazing.
Yeah, it was great. And like some of the comments were like hard to read, and
I'm sure
like people need to get a grip sometimes, but
yeah.
But other ones were like so funny. It was just so hilarious, and she just did a great job of like riding this wave. And then like all of a sudden we had 800 monthly listeners, and then we had like 20,000. Like it just
oh.
it went insane over like a couple of weeks. And then like people just stuck around, like people just started listening to other music. And then our label was like, ooh, do you guys want to tour? And we were like, yeah, like, of course we do. And so I've become a real advocate for like, people take social media really seriously, and yeah. they have to post if they have something important to share. But I think like social media is just a fun way to like express yourself. You don't have to make every video, every post cookie cutter. That is really the only way people are going to find you. So you can either use it or deprive yourself of opportunity. And that's not my problem.
Right.
So it's been great for me because I feel like I've gotten out of my comfort zone, and I just kind of post things that come to mind. And like, if they don't work, they don't work, and I can archive it and it doesn't matter.
Right. Right.
But I think it's just a great tool of like, people can go to our Instagram and they know exactly who we are, and just creating like a fun space when like a lot of spaces on the internet and a lot of spaces in real life aren't fun right now.
Yeah.
I think it's like, my advice is like, relax, like just post whatever you want, because if it fails, it literally doesn't matter. Us being on the internet and like posting dumb TikToks led to like multiple tours for us.
Wow.
I get that like social media is such a stressful tool for a lot of people.
Right.
And like the idea of sharing your inner self on the, you know, out on social media is not something everybody wants to do. But for me, it's just, as a person who loves to collaborate, like sharing my life a little bit to a certain extent and getting to know other people through it has only led me to good things. So
that is so well said and so inspiring, and like makes me want to post something because I think
you can post anything. Be like, hey, I have a podcast, like hashtag boom, post it.
Right. I needed to hear this today. Yeah. Cause I think for me, like, I hide behind the mic a lot and like I get so intimidated by people. But at the end of the day, it's what you're saying. It's just like people are just being authentic. And worst comes to worst, you just archive that shit. Like, who cares? Like, it's not that deep.
A lot of people are just connecting with like moving away from the word influencer and just connecting with, like, authenticity in whatever field you're interested in. Like, I don't want to see a picture perfect 27-year-old that's like on their amazing branded trip. Like, that's literally not who I am.
Right.
Like, I want to see like, what did you do today? And like, where are we getting interesting music from? And like, how do you bake bread? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah. No,
the
exactly.
More normal, the better, in my opinion. Like, I like the messy side of the internet. It makes me feel better about being a messy person. So
for sure, you're so right. Like, when you think about the content that you like to watch, it's so important to consider it's likely that it's relatable, it's likely that it's raw, and it's likely that you can go and do the same thing if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
And in terms of like other viral moments or like big moments, you've been kind of talking about the success of your song Sweet Basil, which has over 1 million streams on Spotify. That's a huge, huge milestone. So congrats on that. Like, can you talk a little bit about the song's journey and how it's impacted your career?
So Sweet Basil is just one of these like hilarious one-offs in our catalog. Like, we put Sweet Basil out as like a single. Fun fact about Sweet Basil is that the cover, the single cover, is actually hand painted by
your
friend Will Montgomery. He hand painted. I actually have it hanging in my office, the original painting.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it. And the music video was all like created and thought up and directed and shot by Benji, our drummer. Matriana had a pair of these pink overalls that we were all obsessed with. And we were like, how do we get more of those? And then it like it just became like a Sweet Basil like staple. Like, I just have, I never wear those overalls. They're just like an archival piece for me now. But Sweet Basil was like a riff that Matriana had come up with. And I didn't really have an exact concept in mind. I just knew, like, I took the da-na-na-na-na-na-na and I wanted to write a singular word on top of every single note. I thought that would be cool. And we literally sat around their tiny apartment. Like, Abby and Matriana were living together in the East Village at the time. And we sat around their tiny little apartment and we were just playing this guitar line over and over and over again.
Wow.
And I don't know how, I don't remember how I came up with, I like wearing all of your clothes. Like, it just kind of flew out of me. And then it turned into this song about the vibe, like kind of that vibe in high school where like you're just out with your friends with no agenda, that one person in your friend group that has a car that was like definitely too old and like doesn't have, like, you can't plug your phone into it, like you still have to play like CDs or whatever,
right?
And you're just like driving around no purpose. Like, that's the type of high school experience that I had. And I had a friend that had like this old Volvo and we used to like drive around and like wasting time in diners, like wasting time in steak and eggs. Like, I was trying to also write around Sweet Basil because Matriana had already called the demo that before the words on top of it. Because I had mentioned like driving around in this Volvo, I think like Benji kind of took that into account with the music video, because we're also like driving around in this van and we're just like messing around.
Right.
Fields and whatever.
That's so cool. It like had such a piece of like like a little bit of everyone in it, which I think goes back to what you're saying about like the value and like how valuable collaboration is. And it's funny because like even that riff, listening to it, it does have this like it makes me kind of nostalgic for like literally listening to it. I'm like, oh, it makes me like nostalgic for like summers and like high school. So it's funny that that's like what I picked up on, or at least that's what resonated for me. Yeah.
We're kind of starting to think about, you know, what we're doing next and how we're writing next. And like what I'm writing about has changed so much over the years. And, we're trying to find this really healthy balance of like what we've already written and right. like keeping that energy while including the like new sounds we're interested in and the sonic vibes that we're interested in and right. the slightly darker things that I'm writing about and like, but still making them like still launchifying them in a way that feels like fun and relatable and like interesting to
yeah.
listen to.
Yeah. That must be both very challenging and like rewarding because it's, as an artist, want to evolve. Like that's such a classic, not necessarily dilemma, but a challenge in the sense of like wanting to evolve from your sound. But when you have such a fan base with such an identity, like you want them to grow with you.
Totally.
How has touring been for you? Like, are you a pro tour? Do you like it?
What's funny is we have always, always, always been a live band. That is what right. we love. That's what we're good at. I never started a band because I wanted to sit in a studio for a year. Like, it's just yeah. not who I am. It's not why we make music. We always wanted to tour. And the first tour that we did, just learning how to tour as a unit takes time. Even little things of like, where are we eating? Who has to pee? Like, I haven't right. had a vegetable in 4 days. Like, oh my God, someone forgot a hi-hat. Like, it's like the littlest things that you just don't think about because it's such a an abnormal way to exist. Yeah. You just don't come across a lot of people who are like, yeah, I've totally spent a month like just driving around the country.
Yeah.
I feel like in the last couple of years, I have just gathered more friends in my close circle that are touring at different levels. And so having their advice and their expertise has been really helpful. I think that now that we've been on 3 tours, but this will be the longest one we've ever been on. Mm-hmm. I feel like the least stressed about it. Like, I think when we went on tour the first time, I don't think I ate like the first 4 days we were on the road.
Yeah.
I was so stressed out. I don't drive very often. And like, I was so worried something was going to happen and ended up being fine. And
yeah.
So it's definitely like a learning experience and you have to adapt to each other's needs. And like some days you are the person that is like making sure someone else is okay. And then some days you are the person with the problem and they're trying to make sure you're okay. It's just, you have to be able to compromise. Like sometimes you are the one sleeping on the floor. Sometimes you have to hold right. your pee for another hour. Sometimes you have to be okay with fast food for lunch. And like, it is what it is. But I would never trade this time for anything else in the world. Even when we have crappy shows or we have crappy days, being able to do that with them has just been so great. When we end a tour and then we don't see each other for a couple of days, like we're all really sad.
Oh, yeah.
Like if I go a couple like days not seeing them, I'm like, I feel like I have separation anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
When people hear about like the conditions of touring and how difficult it can be, people are like, oh, I can't imagine doing that. And it's like, well, that's why like you have to love it. If yeah. you don't love it, you won't do it again. Yeah. And the bands that want to be on the road keep doing it because they are built and they're made for that. And that's what they're supposed to be doing. And I really feel like right now, this is what we're supposed to be doing. It's been amazing to just meet people in cities that we've never been to who are like screaming the words back.
Yeah,
like, it just feels so surreal. Like if we can just keep continuing to promote like safe spaces in cities don't have them right now, like that's all I care about. And I'm glad we can do that.
Seeing your journey, like it seems like it's really paying off. I mean, I know you guys got to play at South by Southwest last year. I was there and I missed you by a day. I had my flight. Oh. I remember it so vividly. Like I had a message I was going to send you and I was like, oh shit, my stupid flight is like right when you guys were going on, but you're playing again this year. So that's, and then you also booked Governor's Ball.
Yeah. Gov Ball has been really crazy. I've had a lot of like other artists text me like, how did you do this? Like, and I'm like, I don't know. So I plug to Flyby Artists. They are our agents. They're a boutique agency. They are amazing guys. They signed us like almost a year ago, and they have done an excellent job at just getting us the types of shows that we want to be playing and want to be a part of. And they really, really care.
That's amazing.
And I thank them for it. Hunter and Chase at Flyby are great guys. I was like self-pitching us to festivals and it just like wasn't going anywhere. But in September, they texted us and they were like, hey guys, hope you're well. Gonna shoot you guys an offer from GovBall. Whoa. Like, let us know thoughts. And I was like, that is so funny. Like, there's no way. And it was 100% real. And we were just all like freaking out. I had no idea that they were pitching to like major music festivals. We signed the offer from them. And then they were like, so you can't tell anybody about this.
Oh my gosh.
Like they, if they find out that like you're talking about this with other people, like, you know, they need to keep all of this under wraps. Like there's a possibility they could remove you from the show, like whatever.
Wow.
So we told nobody. We sat on this information for months and like,
wow.
And they have a big radius clause too, which is like totally understandable. If like you really can't play any shows in the area unless it's approved. So like we play live so much that people were like, when is your next New York show? We were like,
oh my gosh.
We had to just kind of like be really casual about it. And it was killing us that we couldn't tell anybody. We couldn't tell any friends. Like, it was just so cuckoo bananas. And then like January hit and it just like, it just got so insane of just everything.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the word work, like this is nuts. I've never even been to a big festival. And so preparing for GovBall has just been this like big, scary question mark. It's just been, I'm so excited. And like, we have all these crazy ideas, but like we have to get through tour first, and then like when we have to do the 17-hour drive from like Dallas to LA, we'll start to like make all our decisions. So,
yeah, that's so exciting. Well, congratulations, like,
thank
so
you.
Cool. Yeah, for those who don't really know, GovBall is this really big annual music festival in New York. It's the only, like, I think it's really the only New York City festival left because like Izu died, RIP.
And other than like Global Citizens, like,
yes.
I think it's one of the only other ones.
Yeah. So it's a big deal. And it's 3 days and Strawberry Launch is playing Friday with some really insane headliners, Tyler, the Creator, McGee, Tyla, and then Benson Boone, who I feel like now just became a hot topic because of his like backflips at the Grammys.
That man, oh my gosh. Yeah, I only know him as the backflip guy.
Me too.
He wears these like 70s jumpsuit getup.
Yeah, very
and,
Freddie
like,
Mercury.
Vibe City. Like, I love that. No shade. If we meet in a few months, he doesn't
need
to talk about this, but.
Yes, yeah. No, we like Benson Boone.
I'm number one fan. I'm so excited. Like, I cannot believe that. Like, I'm going to be screaming my head off at McGee. I am determined to meet T-Pain. Like, it's going to
be the
T-Pain of my life.
You're going to have a blast. GovBall is my favorite venue. I've, like, made so many efforts over the years of just being there without figuring out ways to go for free. So I've worked at the box office a couple times. I've, like, gotten like passes just from other jobs, and like I even applied for a job to be their marketing manager, and I didn't get the job, but as a consolation prize they gave me VIP passes 1 year. So it's like, oh, I'm
that is so like every okay that's the hot take.
I was like, I'm not even mad, like this, I don't have to work and I get to go for free.
I love
like,
that
I'm manifesting that I can somehow finesse my way for free again so I can come and cheer you guys on.
Yeah, it's and also like the community has just been so supportive. Like we've gotten, I don't even know how many DMs we've gotten about people who were like, this is amazing. What can I do? Like I'm like a visual designer. Like we can make graphics together, or like I'm a stylist, or I'm a photographer or whatever. So
that's amazing. That must feel so good. Like it must feel like such a milestone.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to like, you know, just the year that we are going to have, it just feels really exciting. And I think we've just been at this for a really long time. Like sometimes it's like people get successful really, really quickly. And we always think like, well, what are we doing something wrong? Like, are we not promoting ourselves the right way? Are we not putting enough money into this or whatever? And so being able to kind of every year for the last couple of years, like tick off these goals that we've had has just felt really great because of all the time and the energy and the compromises and the blood and the sweat and the tears we've put into stuff. I really firmly believe that like if you make music and this is what you want to do with your life, like success is going to happen for you, whether it's immediate or it takes 10 years. Like if you're an artist and you know you're meant to do it, like it's going to happen. And sometimes you just have to be patient with yourself.
Yeah, no, that's so inspiring to hear, I think, for especially coming from like, yeah, you're like a vet. And like, I love that you're a vet, but it's like also you're just getting started at the same time. Like, this is such a pivotal moment. And it's just exciting. And it's so rewarding to see people with like pure intentions and like genuine love for music, like be seen and heard and recognized for it, like beyond fans. Like, obviously fans are so important, but like there is that like jump when you're like finally being heard or like seen on a different level, and you can kind of step back and be like, wow, like this was us, like we did this. It's probably just such a cool feeling.
I just am, every time when this gets really, really hard, like there are just moments that we have that feel really difficult, and I are best friends. And sometimes like I will call him and I will just like, I will have lost it. I just like, I'm mad about something or something didn't work out or things feel really hard, and I'll kind of vent for a long time. And then when I'm done, he goes, well, do you want to quit? Are you done? Are we done with Strawberry Lounge? Like, do you want to quit? And I'm like, no, like I can't see myself doing anything else, and I don't want to do anything else. And so even when it feels really hard, it's so simple until the answer is I'm done. I'm not. And like, neither any of my bandmates, like the answer is really just, well, you could quit. Nobody cares. Like, you could stop right now if you wanted to. And if you want to, then you should. And if you don't, then keep going.
That's really powerful. Like, so simple, but so powerful, because you're right. Yeah. It's like something that taps into your gut. Like, no, like this is not the end. Like, this is just a moment that I need to get over. And like, clearly it paid off, because look where you guys are now.
Mm-hmm. I think like, I really try not to take this time for granted, because I won't have it forever. And so being able to do, you know, sing to 10 people in Cleveland or sing to 1,000 or 2,000 at GovBall, like it's all worth it. It's all fun. Yeah. It's all what I want to be doing anyway. So
I think that like is a really good way to kind of close out. I do have one more question that I like to ask. You probably heard it in the last episode, but if your music career so far had an album title, what would you name it?
One thing that we do sometimes, I don't know if that will change with time, but when we write new songs, sometimes we will do them at our shows just to, like, we haven't even demoed them yet. Like, we'll just play them and we'll tell the audience, like, hey, this is new. Like, tell us what you think. And we played a song called Start of Forever. And I feel like if I had to put an album title to my music career, it would be The Start of Forever. Even if we aren't able to do the band thing forever, I don't think I will ever, I think I'll spend the rest of my life writing in some capacity.
That's so good. You're such a writer. I can just tell. Like, that's so good. Damn. I think that's one of the best. Don't tell my other guests, but that's like one of my favorite ones.
Oh, top secret information. We're not putting this on the internet at all, so don't even worry.
Congrats on all the success so far, and really, really excited to see you guys keep thriving.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.